Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Don't f- it up.
If you love reality, this is Big Brother.
I have never in my life yelled at a girl like this.
Bye, pumpkin.
But you're good.
Every go after
every
life.
You're going to love the Real House Husbands podcast.
The Real House Husbands.
Talking all things reality, both on screen and in real life.
You will never believe what happened next.
Because sometimes it's juicier.
It goes out of their way to go and say that to someone.
Get ready, because it's about to get real in here with your hosts, Tim and Rod.
The morphlest of them all.
Tim, Rod. You are the winners of the amazing...
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Real House Husbands podcast. We are here, we're queer, and we're ready to slay.
We're back and have not been cancelled.
Yeah, girl, yeah. Maybe we will this week, you never know.
Well, it is quite juicy.
Juicy, juicy.
Juicy, juicy. Well, this week, we're talking about those times, and I know if you're listening to this right now, you're going to relate to this, because it's those times where someone tells you that you can't do something. It might be because you physically can't do it, or that someone just judges you and says, you're not going to be able to do this, or stop doing this. And you're like, do you know what? I'm going to do it anyway, just to prove you wrong.
I don't know about you, but when someone tells me to tone it down or don't do this, don't do that, it just makes me enraged and makes me want to do the complete opposite, do it tenfold and prove them wrong.
Don't ever tell a gay person to tone it down.
I've gotten that before. Stop being so gay. It's like, you know what? I'm going to be 10 times gayer, 1,000 times gayer. Stick this one in your pipe and smoke it.
Exactly. But on a different sort of angle, today's guest is one of the most inspiring people ever. It is Sky Blue from Amazing Race. She was born without a hand. So,
yes.
Like literally her arm goes down to about her elbow-ish. Yeah. But that's just how she was born. And she still made it all the way through to fifth, was it?
She came fifth, yeah. And she's the definition of not only a boss-ass bitch, but also a fierce-ass queen. We're obsessed with her and the chat is going to be iconic.
Yeah.
We're so excited. But to kick things off, we thought we'd give an example of when someone told us we couldn't do something
or told us
to stop doing something and what our reaction was.
All right, go. I want to hear yours.
Well, mine's pretty kind of pathetic but very relatable. I think most people would have gone through this stage in their life where they were just so into partying. And for shit. But for me, it was back in my early 20s and I was a partying sicko. I was going out every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday. I was a sicko. Anywhere that had a dance club or a dance floor, I was there with bells on, twerking my ass off.
I don't 24/7. Think that makes you a sicko. I think that makes you like most 20-something year olds.
Like a party animal. Yeah. I was the definition of a party animal, pretty much. I was the Aussie snooky and I was living my best life. But anyways, my mum sat me down and she's like, look, you need to tone it down. I want you to stop partying. And to say that, she didn't say stop partying. She said, you need to stop going out as much. Tone it down. And for me, like I said before, that enraged me and I just wanted to do the complete opposite. And that's exactly what I did.
Oh my gosh. So what? Instead of going out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Pretty much. But I don't know. There's just something about that. And I guess any point in your life when someone says, don't do it, tone it down, do something different, you want to do the complete opposite. And I did. I went out more. I was going out partying a lot earlier and staying out a lot later.
Pre-drinking from like early in the day.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't good physically or mentally. It was, as I got older, I started to get more run down. My hangovers were more intense and more severe. And mum was right. I should have taken a note from mum's book. So looking back on it, thank you, mum, for trying to change my ways. But it didn't work in the time. But I wish I'd taken your advice. But you know what it's like? It's almost like I kind of compare it to when someone, I had a friend, I'm not going to name names, was a full-blown hardcore Christian their entire life. And then they got to like adulthood and they were released from that that Christian bubble,
yes,
they were like a full-blown sex addict. They were doing every drug under the sun. They were partying 24/7.
Are you talking about me?
Oh, my God. I didn't know. I never compared that my friend is very like you. But it was the definition of they were being told, you got to be like this. You got to be like this. Do not do anything different. And they thought, you know what? Once again, stick this in your pipe and smoke it.
Yes.
I'm going to be a hardcore, twerking, drinking, dancing slut.
But do you know what? You're kind of still like that. Oh, my God. You just literally spat your mineral water all over me.
What? What do you mean? I'm kind of like that. Like.
No, not like a drinking, partying slut.
Pretty much.
No, but I mean, like, if someone tells you anything that, like, not to do something.
Yes.
Like, there's been a few times where you've been completely white girl at a party or something, and I'm just like, I'm like, oh my God. Actually, I'm going to tell that story in a second.
Yes.
But, like, I've even said to you, like quietly away from other people, like, Tim, like, you're like literally white girl, like you really need to slow down or you're going to be in the gutter. And then you're like, well, fuck you, I'm taking a shot. Like, it's just, you cannot be told. Like that time we were at my friend's party and it was his birthday and you were downstairs in the basement by yourself listening to Britney dancing. And I came down and told you you're being rude and that you need to come up and join the party. And you're just like, volume up, volume up, volume up, shot. I'm like, bitch.
I'm like, free Britney, bitch. Drink it, Ryder. But it's like anyone. Like, if you said to me, mate, don't go touch that dog shit over there, I would want to go touch it. Like, it's just, it's a human instinct to do the opposite. I need to go pick the dog shit up, but it's a human instinct to do the complete opposite of what someone's trying to mold you or force you into doing.
Yeah.
Which everyone does that. What's your story?
Oh, well, see,
when's the time that someone told you to do something? See,
mine's
different?
Like completely different. Mine wasn't a rebelling sort of thing because someone said I couldn't do something.
Mm.
But when I came out, it was quite negative and I had multiple people. I was that person, grew up in church and thought I had to live that certain life and not drink very much and no sex before marriage.
So you were reading the Bible every single day?
I read it a fair bit. I actually almost did like Bible college and that back in the day.
Oh my God.
Like, literally, I was so involved in it. Like, yeah. I was a youth leader, everything. And so I had this like pressure to live a certain way and whatnot. But once I came out and like was like, hey, I'm into dudes, it didn't go down well. And there was multiple people in my life. I'm not going to name names, but like, especially people in the church said to me that I would never succeed in life if I go down this path of being true to who I am.
You'll never succeed if you're gay, basically.
You will never succeed in life.
Like, because of the path you've taken with your sexuality or the being true to yourself,
Yeah, like, I don't know if it came from an old school sort of thing that, like,
that
gay people don't have as many opportunities or whatever, but I was just like, that gave me so much drive.
Lit the biggest fire under your ass. Oh, my God.
That happened, and I freaking promoted in 2 weeks. Promoted again in 6 months.
Yes.
Started my own business. Like, it drove me. Like, to be honest, I had those people's voices in my head on Amazing Race.
Like, I love that.
Literally.
Their negativity fueling your fire.
Honestly, it was just like, those motherfuckers said that I would never succeed in life and I'm about to win a freaking race around the world.
Yes. High five me, baby. Yes. Oh. You're there thinking you're not going to win. You're not going to succeed. And you were thinking, you know what, bitches? Fucking watch me.
Yeah, honestly, it really was. So, like, whereas you're a bit more, like, rebelling against someone telling you to do something that you shouldn't be doing.
Stop twerking, you sicko.
Mine was, I was being true to myself, and I was just like, do you know what? That gave me so much drive. Like, I was probably became a little bit of a hard ass because of it, but, like, it was just like, meh.
Oh, my God. But the scary thing is that there's probably a lot of people out there that their parents would say that to them for poor kids that would come out of the closet and their parents would say, look, don't do this. Don't take this path.
Honestly.
You are not going to be successful. You're not going to succeed, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
But the fact that that has lit that fire, that determination to not give up, to not quit, and to prove everyone wrong, I'm so proud of you, mate.
It was like they wanted me to, like, stay in the closet and then I would succeed.
Lie about who you are for the rest of your life so what, you can get a bougie job. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, marry some chick, get a pregnant, have kids, and then be like later in life, go, I can't handle this more, and really hurt the poor girl.
Gay people can do anything. We can do anything. You throw anything at us, we can do it. We can fly. Yeah. No, but honestly, like that it just enrages me. You know, when people try and change your truth or try and change who you are, even if your little moment in time is a trashy few years, everyone deserves to have that filthy, outrageous party years when they've got not a worry in their worry in the world. They're not paying rent. They're not paying rego. They don't have a phone bill. Your only worry is where are my drinks and what dance floor am I going to be twerking my ass on?
Yes. Actually, another thing of that, my dad was always very like, I love my dad. He's a legend, but he was always very much, save all your money, buy a house first. Whereas I was like, I want to go travel the world sort of thing. So again, even though I had it drilled into me for like growing up sort of thing, not in a like possessing sort of way or anything like that. Mm. It's always been really supportive, I guess. But it was just like, hey, no, like I'll buy my house. We now have a house. I've bought a house, but I've also traveled the world.
Mate, you've ticked every single box. Oh my God. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but growing up, I wanted to dance and people told me, do not dance. I'm talking about in school. Do not do dance lessons. Do not do dance classes. You're going to be an outcast loser and we're going to want to hang out with you. And I was like, you know what? I have a calling to dance and nothing's going to fucking stop me.
And you were an outcast loser.
I was such a loser growing up. If anyone's listening to this and you're a loser, I can relate because I was the biggest outcast growing up. I was such a loser. I was very overweight. I had like acne and I had like, I don't know. I had everything going against me. But I'm happy that I went through that phase because it made me stronger and it made me realize what's important in life and what true happiness is.
Yeah. And if you do actually think you're a loser, you're not. What these little things, these little quirks that do make you different is what makes you special and unique and you're a legend.
Mm. But honestly, coming up next, we're talking to Sky Blue from the Amazing Race Australia. Like Rod said, she has one hand. She's so inspirational. Doing that race with one hand, that is goddamn impossible. So we're going to be chatting to her. And if she's ever had anyone tell her to, she can't do something, she won't succeed, she's not going to be good. So we can't wait to see what she's got to say. Coming up next.
So excited.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So our next guest was the fan favourite in this year's season of The Amazing Race Australia. She's a fierce-ass queen who with only one arm ended up coming in fifth place in the race.
Yeah, she's so inspirational and we could not be more excited to welcome the chick who stole everyone's heart in Australia. Welcome Sky Blue!
Yes!
Hello! Thank you for having me.
We love you, queen. Thanks for chatting with us.
No, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much. And Sky, we are obsessed with you. But for people who don't know you, you literally have only one arm. And firsthand, we know goddamn how hard the amazing race is. So to think of going back and doing it again with only one arm sounds absolutely impossible. So we take our hats off to you, queen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Like in the first challenge on Amazing Race, you literally carried beers around a pub. Like that's hard enough to do when you've got two hands right there. Like has that if you can call, I was gonna say a disability, but like obviously it's not for you because you still tackled every challenge.
Yes.
But like was that something you were born with or was it from an injury later in life?
I came straight out the womb with only one hand.
Yes.
Popped into the world with just one.
Oh, my God. Well, Sky, we're going to go back to the Amazing Race stuff a bit later, but we want to know, growing up, so you obviously went to school your whole schooling years with your one arm. Did you get bullied much or were kids, like, frothing on you because you were just super cool?
It was actually weird. Like, surprisingly, to my knowledge, I didn't get bullied. But then again, I grew up with two brothers, so I've grown up being pretty tough and stubborn and stuff.
Knocking them around a little bit.
But the only thing I really copped was stairs, just because people had never seen anyone like me. So,
oh my God.
And a lot of doubt. There was a lot of doubt out there and still to this day, but, you know, prove them wrong.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
How about like a little bit like later in life when you started finding an interest in boys and dating and things like that? Did you ever feel what really like self-conscious or didn't want to like flirt with a guy because he thought like you thought that he might not be interested or anything like that?
Most of the time they didn't notice. And it wasn't until like a few weeks in, they were sort of like, wait, what? And I'm like, I said the whole time.
Yes.
That's because he was looking into your beautiful eyes.
Yes. That's so good, Scott. I want to know, like, is there anything probably everything, just growing up or even now that we just take for granted that you find like hard to do, but if someone's complaining, you think, you know what, suck it up, I've got to deal with this. What jumps out to your mind? Like stuff that we wouldn't even think of would be impossible to do with one hand.
Oh, look, it's not so much because I can pretty much do everything or I figure out a way to do it. It's just more so opportunities that I can't because of it.
Yeah.
That sort of sucks. I mean, prime example is, ever since I was 4 years old, I wanted to join the army and I couldn't. Because of the because we had big high end sort of meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
Back when I was like 15, 16. Back when I was told that I couldn't, and it was mainly because there was a certain way they had to dismantle and put together the guns and stuff.
Whoa.
And they said, although we know you could do it, it needs to be done in this certain specific way, which unfortunately you can't do. So it was it's just sort of like stuff like that, really.
Yeah. Well, I tried to get into the Navy and that's when I found out I was color deficient. So that's something just literally like I can't see colors properly, let alone I'm like missing a hand.
But you're still slaying, Queen, and we absolutely love it. Okay, what about some amazing race stuff? Because you, like we said, you were hands down our favourite from the get-go. We cried when you guys got eliminated. It was devastating. I'm sure the whole of Australia did as well. But what's your favourite memory from the Amazing Race Australia?
Oh, wow, that's a really tough one.
No way. So you got truckloads, do you?
Oh, favourite? Oh, wow. I mean, every experience within itself is incredible. I loved all the hands-on sort of things.
Oh.
Excuse the pun.
That's iconic. No way. Yeah, cool.
Sort of like all the like the adrenaline-based stuff and just the things that I knew people would be like, there's no way she'll be able to do that. We'll have a leg up in this one, which is like all the abseiling and the swimming and stuff, which is actually my stronger thing.
Yeah.
I always love doing that stuff. But my favorite part was actually probably the aftermath.
Yeah. Like actually watching yourself back on TV and things like that?
No, it was just the amount of people that were reaching out. So obviously I had a certain reason to go on and knowing that that was being accomplished was – yeah, probably my favorite part of all is the amount of people that I could reach from that. So,
yeah, for sure.
That is so good, Scott, because dead set, you were such an inspiration to all those sicko idiots out there who were complaining about minuscule things in your life or their lives. And then you look at someone like you who's getting your ass on the race, doing so well, slaying every single challenge that is thrown your way. You should just literally pat yourself on the back. But you know what gave me life? The other teams, when they were complaining and like, I can't do this, I can't do that, and then it like shot to you just slaying it. We're like, yes! Well, she's doing it, so fucking suck it up. we're so proud of you, Coin.
Had you applied for Amazing Race earlier, like on previous seasons, like our season?
That was literally the first time I had ever applied for the Amazing Race.
Oh my God, our season, did ya?
No, like the one that I was on, but I would have upraced against you guys.
Oh, maybe All-Stars, you never know. We might have to align in All-Stars.
Maybe we'll tie your hands behind Tabasco. There you go.
You've already told us that you can do everything, so no, you don't get an advantage anymore.
Yeah.
But did you, had you not applied previously because you thought that you wouldn't be accepted because of your hand and things like that, or is it just something that you'd always wanted to do and just never got around to it? Like, what was that all about?
Look, to be fair, I had never watched The Amazing Race. I know.
You didn't even watch your season. What the hell?
No.
All right, it was great talking to you, Sky. Bye.
Bye.
No way. So you're fully like fresh to it.
Yeah. So I watched maybe one or two episodes in quarantine. But yeah, no, I was pretty much fresh. I was like, wait, what's a detour? What's this?
That's pretty cool because like you seriously wouldn't have known anything that was they were going to throw in your direction. So no. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, you didn't know what was coming.
My brother, he's the one that watched it and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had no clue, but I was excited for it regardless.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Scott, I want to know who was the worst team to race with?
And you have to answer these questions.
Who was this one that you're like, oh my God, here we go again?
Look, to be honest, everyone's got different race styles.
Yes.
There were certain teams which I personally didn't agree with their race style.
Yeah.
They went on quite far, and I think it was pretty obvious and known that Chris and Alicia weren't my favorite team.
Oh yeah. No way.
They kept making it through. Like they were racing pretty hard, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean they made it further than us. Stupid hall hoops and all, but
What about Holly and Delore? Were they pretty outrageous to race with?
To be honest, we weren't really around them too often. Because I mean, obviously, placements of the race, once you check in, then that's it. So people that are still racing, like you guys know, you don't really spend too much time around. But you know, like they were funny at certain points, like when I did see them and stuff. Because I mean, Dolor, bless his heart, he's petrified of height. And you knew when he was on a height because he was basically screaming, like,
wow.
Bless his soul, like.
Delore seemed to be screaming and scared of everything in that race.
You name it, he was scared of it.
The thing that, like, watching it back, I don't know if you were the same, but watching Holly and Delore, like, it was just almost like cringeworthy because we had done the race before. We know what it's like. We know that there's a camera with you all the time. You know you're always mic'd up.
Yeah.
And it's like you're still talking to Holly in a way that, like, you're like, mate, do you realize the whole of Australia is going to come for you?
Oh my God. So that was what he was actually like, was it?
Pretty much like when I was watching this series back, I was like, they've actually put everyone pretty true to who they are.
Ooh,
if anything, made people's characters look better in certain ways as well. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah, pretty much what you saw is what you got.
That's so crazy. Scott, I want to know as well, because when Rod and I did the race, like, you know what it's like, you're locked up, you're basically held captive when you're not racing. But the stress and anxiety of the race, at least we could have sex with each other and release all that tension. You were with your brother. Well, how the hell did you survive?
Not happy
in my room. I know, like, how the hell did you make it pretty much to the end? Like, you must have been struggling hardcore.
Oh, look, I don't know, actually. Basically, you get back to your room and you conk out.
You do. That's so true.
I mean, Jake was journaling, so he was writing down everything that happened in the day and stuff, whereas I was just, you know, I sort of like just zone out and just basically stare at a wall being like, okay, I'm done.
Do you know what? Jake is smart though, because we actually did the same thing. We had a journal, and like before we went to like sleep, before we were too exhausted, we wrote down like everything, the challenge, the person who was on the mat, what they were wearing, like who came first, who got eliminated. We wrote down everything because we knew if we got all the way to the end, there's always some form of like memory challenge about like the journey. And then obviously the last challenge for us and in our season was a memory challenge. So we're like, yes.
We're glad we did that. That's so
winning.
Scott, how good is that feeling? Obviously, when you rip open that clue, that adrenaline rush you get is indescribable, isn't it? Like, I wish everyone on planet Earth could experience that because it is the best feeling ever.
Oh, it is, and you just want to read it as quickly as you can without mumbling the words.
Yeah,
so you can just zoom out of there. But it's like, the excitement. It's like, oh my God, like, what are we doing?
Where are we going? What crazy challenge are they going to throw at us today?
Like,
exactly. And you're never right. If you guess, you're just like, oh, I reckon it's this. You're so wrong.
Every single time. Like, with us, when we ripped the clue, we were lucky enough that, like, we were in Vietnam and then it was like, fly to Mongolia, like a completely different country. Like, were you a little bit disappointed that you got on a season that was just in Australia, or the experience that you got was just so incredible that it didn't bother you at all?
Yes.
Look, to be fair, I mean, I've done a fair bit of traveling, like around Europe and stuff. So Australia is actually somewhere I haven't really done that much traveling.
Yeah.
So I was pretty excited and stoked just to do it within Australia. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would have loved to have done a world traveling series, but yeah, just seeing how incredible Australia is I'm so glad that it was just Australian.
That is so good. And we could obviously give our tips and tricks, but I want to hear from you, Skye. If you were giving some advice to another team getting on the race in the next season, what would be your number one tip for getting your ass in the Amazing Race Australia? Or once you've got your butt on, once they yell start, what's your number one tip?
Learn how to read a map.
Definitely. We'll back that up. Definitely backing that.
That was so funny. You guys did actually go the wrong way a few times.
A lot of times.
Get this, though. When we were in Africa, we literally had to go to there was like a T intersection. You could only go left or right. And I'm driving and Tim's in the back. And I'm like, oh, Tim, which way at the end of this road here? And he goes, you can either go left or right. I went, oh, no shit, Sherlock.
Which way?
But how cool, Skye, you're going to have those memories with your brother until the end of time. As long as you guys live, you'll always be able to go back to that season, watch it together. Like, that just gives me life. What great memories to have.
100%. Like, I can just imagine when we're like 70 old in nappies.
Sitting in the nursing home,
yeah. I'm gonna go watch that 2020 season of Amazing Race.
Yeah, like, it's just going to be incredible. Like, I mean, obviously, if you were to do it with someone else, whether it be a partner or something, you never know what's going to happen in the future. Whereas Jake's literally stuck with me for life.
Yeah. So,
like, he cannot get rid of me. It's impossible. I'm like a bad stench that tanks the
rent. He seems like a legend, eh?
Oh, he's one of the best humans you'd ever meet. He really
so
is.
So good.
I want to know, though, obviously, like, you slayed the hula hoops, but Jake really struggled, and then you guys got eliminated, and you've been racing so bloody well to that point.
Yeah.
Was there any part when the cameras turned off where you were just like, fuck you.
Get your shit together, mate.
For the hula hoops, actually, no. I think it was at that point we sort of had a feeling that that was going to be it.
Yeah.
Just because we had fallen so far behind. We caught up quite a bit to the point we were literally seconds after the seats when they touched the mat.
Whoa.
But, yeah, I mean, Jake initially, like, he started bawling and he's like, aww. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you could he's tell like, he was so heartbroken, yeah.
Yeah, like, he really, like, he blamed himself for that. And I said, Jake, like, it's not your fault. Like, he honestly, he gave it everything he had and that's what I never asked for.
Oh, my God. But honestly, it gives me life because the thing I hate the most in the Amazing Race is when a team gets eliminated and they just don't look like they really care or give a shit. It gives me life when you can tell a team wants it so goddamn bad. And we saw that from you guys every single episode. You wanted it. You wanted it. You didn't want to give up. You're pushing right to the end. And that kind of dedication and determination is what the Amazing Race is all about. Just not giving up, not cracking under pressure. And even if you do, just never giving up and just giving it your all, which you guys did.
Thank you. And, yeah, like, you're 100% right. Like, there's people on there for all different reasons. Some just for being on TV, some for, you know, proving certain things, some for experience. But, we were definitely there giving it our all every single step of the way. And, yeah, we didn't make it completely to the end, but everyone's race has a finish line and that's when ours was.
Yeah. So. You're still our favourite, though.
Yeah.
But we get asked a lot, even to this day, we get asked a lot, like, behind-the-scenes questions and things like that. So, like, there was conversations that Tim and I had. There was even challenges that we went to that didn't make the final edit just due to timing and things like that, which is TV. But was there anything that stands out to you, a fight, an argument, a challenge that you did, or something that happened on the race that wasn't aired?
There's a few things because obviously, I mean, everyone's getting filmed basically 24 hours a day. Yeah. So there's only so much that they can use. Some of the challenges that they put out were awesome. But there was this really funny part which didn't air, which was between me, Dan and Wayne.
Yeah.
And I accidentally, like, I was just tired and I called, like, accidentally, like, I don't even know how, just merged their names together. And so I called them Dane.
And that is so good.
That pretty much stuck. Like, that was like our inside joke the whole time. And then they called me Fly Blue.
Yes.
That's so good.
That's amazing. That's so good. I think in even some of our recaps, I called you, what, Jake Blue or something. Like, I got it mixed up as well, but that's so funny. And you know what it's like, Scott, when you're tired and run down, you just say it and do the most stupid, outrageous shit ever. And, of course, there's a camera there to capture it all go down.
Yeah, and there's a fair few times I fell over as well. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the opening scene when we were running through our bags, like, that made it. I full fell.
That's so good.
That's amazing.
So that was on there. But, yeah, there was a few other times where I, like, fell over on the race. But I literally, like, would do these, like, little army rolls and, like, get back up. And I'm like, keep going.
Run, bitch, run.
What did you feel about stowaways? I mean, we were exhausted on the race. And if we had got to, like, halfway through the race and we're like, oh, my gosh, we've made it halfway, and then a stowaway came in, I would have punched them in the face.
Oh, what a human.
I was not a happy camper when I saw, like, I mean, when MJ and Chelsea were there, we were walking up and I was like, oh, they're AFL players for sure. Because I've got quite a few friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just like the build of them, like really athletic, I'm like, dang it.
Yeah.
So I was basically, I was not happy. But like they knew it. Like they knew it as well. Like they even said to me, because like we're very close now, and they're just like, "Yeah, you out of all of them." Apparently, they whispered to each other and was just like, "The girl in the blue doesn't like us."
She's clearly pissed off. No, I don't blame this guy. I would have been fuming.
Yeah, it was because like me and Jake had just won that leg, so we were going to be the first ones running. But then it was a shotgun start, so we were
cut. Oh my god! Well, Skyzy, we're obsessed with you, but we want to know what's next. For Sky Blue, anything in the pipeline you want to drop a bomb with here and tell everyone what's coming?
Look, I still feel like there's so much to give.
Yes.
And get out there and stuff. So, I mean, I'll probably be applying for a couple more shows potentially in the future.
Oh, yes.
But my main thing that I really want to do is sort of get an online basis of, you know, whether it's life coaching or something, just to help people just sort of feel great with who they are, just because I've gone through that journey of self-discovery and, you know, hiding my arm and
yeah, that's
getting
so good.
Through to that really confident stage, like, you know, this is who I am, like, I'm going to embrace it, I freaking love it, wouldn't change an inch of it.
Yes.
So something like that, just my main thing that I always feel like I want to do in life is help as many people as I possibly can. And if I can do that through my own, you know, struggles that I've been through and my own life experiences, then, like, I'll be an open book for whoever wants to listen.
That is honestly so bloody incredible. You need to do some, like, motivational speaking seminars and that sort of stuff, because you're literally going to change the world. That is honestly so incredible.
Sky, we're dead set, both sitting here tearing up. You are an amazing queen, so goddamn inspirational. You need to get your ass out there and just scream from the rooftops, because the world needs to hear your voice. That's for certain.
Thank you. I just got to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. Do something that goes viral on TikTok. And then you're
going to TikTok.
Well, to keep up to date with everything Sky Blue's doing, make sure you're following her on Instagram, SkyBlueH. And we thank you so much for coming on the Real House Husbands podcast, Sky.
Thanks so much, Queen.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for chatting with the Sky.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Give me an S.
Yes.
Give me a C.
K.
Give me a Y.
Y.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me a blue.
Sky blue.
Yes. Oh, my God. What? I don't know why I thought it was a C. So definitely
K. Literally.
How good is Sky? She is a queen.
Honestly, I said it in the intro. This would be inspiring. And she just is. Like, I was like asking questions to get her to almost like have a vent about how bad her childhood was and bullies it. Like, and she's just like been so strong. She's never let anything like stop her. But I'm sure she's had people in her life that say, oh, you shouldn't do the Amazing Race. You can't do Amazing Race. You can't do this. You can't do that. But she's proven everyone wrong. And she's so inspirational.
She is, mate. And I was getting goosebumps multiple times throughout that. We were both tearing up. We were both crying at one point. God damn it. I could listen to her talk for hours and hours and hours. And yeah, she was fantastic. And she was just so goddamn likable and nice. Exactly the person that we fell in love with on the race. And you guys didn't really hear it, but after we stopped the interview with Sky, we kept chatting for like 20 minutes, all things Amazing Race. If you guys want to get your asses on the Amazing Race, audition for season 3, because it is the greatest thing you will ever do in your entire life.
Can I get an amen?
Yes. Can I get an amen up in here?
Yeah. So to keep up to date with all things The Real House Husbands podcast, make sure you're following us on Instagram at Tim and Rod. And we'll be chatting with each other next week and you have to listen.
Thanks for listening, guys. It means the world to us. Don't miss next week, The Real House Husbands podcast with Tim
and Rod.
Bye, 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 bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
It's time to go.
Thanks for listening to The Real House Husbands podcast.
Bye, pumpkin.
Keep up to date with @TimandRod on Instagram.
Doing what we love to do the most.
And subscribe so you don't miss the next episode.